from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Large-scale human resources development programs should be applied next year, President Joko Widodo says. Saudi Arabia does not tolerate steps to interference with domestic affairs in other countries. Minister Retno Marsudi listened to young children's inputs and views of Bali Democracy Students Conference BDSC young participants. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on all ministries and agencies to begin applying large-scale human resource development programs starting next year. While chairing the cabinet sessions on the fourth year 2015 to 2019 achievement of National Medium-Term Development Plan and ministries, states, institutions, expenditures evaluation at the Jakarta State Palace on Wednesday, the president noted that his government would immediately conduct a strategic shift to enter the massive human resources development program. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, President noted that as he has said at both the limited meeting and plenary meeting that in 2019, the government will make a strategic shift to enter the human resources development program on a large scale. Therefore, the President urged all ministers and staff to ensure that their work plans incorporate as many human resources development programs on human resource development as possible in all ministries. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi held communication with Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir on Tuesday evening. To reporters on Wednesday night in Nusa Dua, Bali, Minister Retno said that the communication discussed the follow-up of cooperation between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia after Adel Al-Jubeir visited Jakarta several times ago. Minister Retno said in the communication also discussed the statement of the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Indonesia, Osama bin Mohammed Abdullah Al-Suhaibi, uploaded on his Twitter accounts. Regarding to this, Minister Retno said that Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir has emphasized that his country does not have a policy that allows its ambassador to interfere in the internal affairs of other countries. Moreover, Indonesia is the Saudi Arabian close friends, so the government of Saudi Arabia will not tolerate any kinds of interference statements.
Dan tidak bisa dihindarkan bahwa kita juga bicara mengenai masalah isi.
We also talk about the issue about the ambassador's Twitter in Jakarta. In the discussion with Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister yesterday, we emphasized that Saudi Arabia does not have policy and will not tolerate interference with internal affairs of other countries, particularly if it is carried out in Saudi-friendly country like Indonesia.
Interference terhadap urusan dalam negeri sebuah negara, apalagi kalau itu dilakukan di sebuah negara yang bersahabat dengan Saudi, seperti Indonesia.
Previously, it was reported that Saudi Arabian Ambassador to Indonesia Osama bin Mohammed Abdullah Al-Suhaibi made a statement related to the action of the 212 movement reunion in Jakarta last week. He said the movement was being reaction to the burning of a flag bearing the Tauhid sentence by members of one of mass organization in Indonesia in October 2018. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi greeted students who participated in the second Bali Democracy Students Conference BDSC in Nusa Dua Bali on Wednesday evening. There are 138 students from Indonesia and foreign countries that joined the event entitled Coffee with Minister Retno to discuss about democracy. A number of students asked and answered questions from Minister Retno regarding democracy and young people issues. The minister further said that the young generation is the successor for the future of the world. Therefore, she encouraged efforts of dialogue with young generation to listen their inputs and views about democracy and prosperity.
Dan dialog antara kita dengan anak-anak muda harus
we must continue the dialogue between young generation and government so that we can listen to their input and views towards democracy and prosperity. During the discussion, which was lasted for approximately 1 hour, there were several issues discussed related to democracy in the world, such as the link between democracy and prosperity. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi said that the conference also discussed about challenges faced by democracy, remembering current geopolitical change where the trend of anti-pluralism, populism, and xenophobia. Contribution of young generation toward development is one of the issues discussed in the Second Bali Democracy Students Conference BDSC. Minister Retno also said democracy and tolerance are the important things that must be encouraged. She also emphasized the importance of respecting diversity as a necessity. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ministry of Transportation is open to hold cooperation in the aviation sector with private parties and foreign companies in the Indonesian regions to meet the availability of services to the public in accordance with the standards of safety, security, and flight services. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said in a written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Thursday that the rapid growth of the air traffic due to a shift in consumption patterns led to the large amount of resources needed. This has, of course, encouraged the government and the private sector to participate in creating and innovating, both in terms of management and operations. Related to this, the government, in this case the Ministry of Transportation, is trying to put forward alternative funding schemes to meet the availability of services to the public. President of the Oil and Gas Companies Association, IPA, Tumbur Parlindungan, reiterated that the organization promotes every effort to increase massive oil and gas exploration in Indonesia. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Parlindungan on Wednesday stated that IPA hope that in 2019, more companies would conduct oil and gas explorations. He added that the IPA will continue to support an increase in oil and gas exploration targets and enhance cooperation with the government. Parlindungan highlighted that the IPA had always established coordination with the government regarding regulations, policies, and taxations. The 2019 goal is establishing collaboration between companies and the government, especially to boost the upstream side. IPA will continue to work together to make investment more attractive and increase exploration targets. Indonesia is hosting the 19th Telecommunications and Information Technology Senior Officials Meeting, or TELSOM, and the 18th Asian Telecommunication and Information Technology Ministers Meeting, TELMIN, in Ubud, Bali. The Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Rudiantara, opened the meeting by planting a tree. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Rudiantara on Wednesday stated that TELSOM TELMIN is an Asian regional level meeting attended by telecommunication ministers from Asian member countries, several representatives from fellow countries, and the International Telecommunication Union, ITU. The meeting, which takes place from December 3 to 6, 2018, discusses a theme of the future of the digital ecosystem for Asian. The delegates discussed the dynamics of the digital technology in Asia in the next 5 to 10 years. In addition, they will also seek inputs from major global technology companies regarding technological developments and their implications on the world, including impacts on Asia. Director General of Budget at the Finance Ministry, Askolani, at a media gathering in Nusa Dua Resorts area in Bali Province on Wednesday said that a strategy of strong tax receipt is needed to narrow budget deficit. Escorted by Antara News Agency, he said sound state budget needs a strategy of strong receive. He explained tax receive, which make up 80% of the state budget, serve as a source of income in the state budget, and that the tax receive need to be strengthened to support financing and offset budget deficit. With good tax receipt, the government will no longer rely on loans and will be able to maintain the quality of state deficit. The state budget will increasingly become stronger with small deficit because the primary equilibrium will also increasingly become smaller. This means that the government can reduce debts and will be stronger than the fiscal aspects. He remarked the government has made the efforts after it stopped selling state debentures in December for financing in the 2018 budget year. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on Bali Democracy Forum. Today and tomorrow, December the 6th and 7th, 10 ministers and a head of state from Nauru will attend the Bali Democracy Forum, or BDF 2018. This year, the annual event held by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs enters its 11th year. The years 2017 and 2018 are special because Indonesia managed to open two BDF or Bali Democracy Forum chapters, one for Africa in Tunisia and one is for Europe in Berlin, Germany. These two chapters or branches were formed because of the interest of countries in Africa and Europe in the dialogue surrounding the challenges of contemporary democracy, which have apparently increased. However, the type of problem handling cannot be the same because each continent has a different history of problems. Europe, for example, discussed the challenges of contemporary migrations and how democratic values can prioritize humanity and human rights, although political and social costs cannot be fully predicted. While in Africa, the issue is fair governance. This year, the Bali Democracy Forum is themed Democracy and Welfare. Most countries in the world consider democracy to be the best system of hope. How do democratic countries achieve prosperity? Maybe that will be discussed by participants in the Bali Democracy Forum in 2 days. Indeed, the purpose a country is established is for the welfare of its people. In the democratic system, the state is managed with inclusive participation from the community. In this case, the democratic system must also be able to answer aspects of the state's goal, namely welfare. Every democratic country has its own experience in developing democracy. Democracy grows and develops in each country in a different way. Therefore, there is actually no similar democracy formula that can be applied in all countries. For 11 years, Indonesia has been successfully organized the Forum for Democracy, not to patronize other countries on how to practice democracy, but to provide opportunities for various countries to share democratic experiences. Hopefully, the Bali Democracy Forum 2018 will also be a success. That was commentary today. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasi.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listeners, meet again with me in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on December the 6th on the independence of Finland. Kingdom of Finland had been colonized by Russian Empire in 1809 and became autonomous region, but Bolshevik revolution by Russian Communist Party in October 1917 opened a new way for Finland to obtain their independence. Declaration of Finland independence was determined by Finland parliamentary on December 6, 1917. The declaration was stated that Finland was an independent state and ended its status as autonomous region of Russian Empire, but Finland officially reached independence on January 3, 1918, and conflict on border of territory was solved in Tartu Treaty that was signed in 1920. The next event was in 1922, on declaration the independence of Ireland. The United Kingdom has controlled Ireland since the 12th century. In the 16th century, the UK Queen Elizabeth I encouraged massive immigration of Protestant Scottish community to Ireland. Over the next several centuries, rebellions which were inflamed by native people, Catholic Irish people, were extinguished by Anglo-Irish minorities. Irish movement gained momentum in the last 19th century. In 1921, the two parties agreed to hold ceasefire. Nationalism faction of Ireland signed peace agreement with the UK. They asked separation of Ireland with autonomous rights for the southern region, while six states in the north of Irish Ireland still became part of the UK kingdom. Civil war broke before the declaration of the independence of Ireland on December 6, 1922. The victory was obtained by the soldiers of the independent Ireland in 1923. In 1937, Constitution of Ireland declared Ireland as sovereign, independent and democratic country. The independent Ireland was named Éire and still neutral during the World War II. In 1949, Bill of Republic of Ireland decided the remaining relations with the United Kingdom Commonwealth. And the last event is that in 2014, Indonesian Film Festival was opened and attended by President. Indonesian Film Festival 2014 in Palembang, South Sumatra, was the first film festival to be attended directly and opened by Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Since 1955 and seven times change of president, it was the only first time for the Indonesian Film Festival 2014 to be attended and opened by Indonesian President. In addition, the Indonesian Film Festival also made a new history, namely the Citra Award for the big screen and the Video Award for television films were combined into one. That was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today I'll bring you a topic about garbage bank grows people's circular economy. Director General of Garbage, Waste and B3 Management, Rosa Vivin, said, the garbage bank contributed to the reduction of national waste by 1.7% from around 1.38 tons per year, with an average income of 1.4 billion rupiah per year. Circular economic benefits are obtained from waste management carried out by waste banks by applying the 3R principle: reduce, reuse, and recycle. The active participation of the community in sorting and processing waste is the key to the success of waste bank management. This was said by Rosa Vivin at the opening of the 5th Garbage Bank National Working Meeting on the theme Mental Revolution of Garbage Management through engagement of waste-based community in Jakarta Monday, December 3. Rosa Vivin also said the growth of garbage bank has increased from around 1,000 units in 2015, became 5,000 units in 2017. All of garbage bank units spread in 34 provinces and 219 regencies or cities in Indonesia. The existence of the waste bank is proven to have a positive impact both on the environment, social and economy. The waste banks was also reduced national waste, as well as job opportunities and providing additional income. In fact, the main garbage bank in West Jakarta has an annual turnover of 4.5 billion rupiah. Rosa Vivin moreover said that the waste is the national issue of the Indonesian nation, especially in big cities. The amount of waste pile is increasing along with the increasing population growth, technological advances, and changes in the practical lifestyle of the Indonesian people. As a result, more diverse types of garbage are produced. A lot of garbage is scattered into the environment and ends into the sea. Rosa Vivin added, 80% of the waste in the sea comes from land-based management. The remaining 20% comes from sea-based management. In response to this phenomenon, many initiatives program have been carried out by management of the waste bank to invite the public to be environmentally conscious. The aim is to reduce the amount of waste sent to landfills and produce circular economic benefits. A number of programs include programs to pay school fee with garbage in Cimahi, paying electricity with garbage and buying groceries with garbage in Makassar, and paying for medical expenses with garbage in Malang. Recently, Pegadaian also initiated the establishment of 59 waste banks throughout Indonesia by inviting people to save garbage to get gold. That was My Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on all ministries and agencies to begin applying large-scale human resource development programs starting next year. The Indonesian Ministry of Transportation is open to hold cooperation in the aviation sector with private parties and foreign companies in the Indonesian regions to meet the availability of service to the public in accordance with the standards of safety, security, and flight services. President of the Oil and Gas Companies Association, IPA, Tumbur Parlindungan, reiterated that the organization promotes every effort to increase massive oil and gas exploration in Indonesia. Indonesia is hosting the 19th Telecommunication and Information Technology Senior Officials Meeting, TELSOM, and the 18th Asian Telecommunication Information Technology Ministers Meeting, TELMIN, in Ubud, Bali. Director General of Budget at the Finance Ministry, Askolani, at a media gathering in Nusa Dua Resort area in Bali Province on Wednesday said that a strategy of a strong tax receipt is needed to narrow budget deficit. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sound.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, I will present you about Oe Hong Dijen Museum in Magelang, Central Java. So stay tuned. Listener, Magelang is the city in Central Java. The city is located on the foot on Mount Merapi. In tourism sector, the city is visited by many local and foreign tourists. They visit Borobudur Temple, the largest temple in Southeast Asia. In Magelang, the visitors who interested to high artistic value also visit Oe Hong Dijen Museum. In the museum, there are various relics, evidence of human civilization from time to time. The museum is located on Jalan Janggolo 14, Magelang. To reach the museum, it takes approximately 1 hour from Adi Sucipto International Airport, Yogyakarta. Listener, Oei Hong Dijan Museum is a private museum owned by a famous painting collector, Dr. Oei Hong Dijan. He was born in Magelang. Around 1970, Oei Hong Dijan, who was familiarly called OHD, began collecting various paintings. After he collected more paintings, OHD built a building to store the collections in 1997. The second building was built in 2006. Meanwhile, the private museum is only opened to the public in April 2012. Listener, Oei Hong Dijan Museum has a collection of more than 2,000 artworks, consisting of works of other Indonesian artists. The collection are among others sculptures, installation art, statues, and new media art. Those works were made by great Indonesian artists such as Avandi, Sujoyono, Hendra Gunawan, Widayat, and Sudibyo. OHD Museum also becomes a forum for new artists who want to pour their creativity. What's interesting about this museum is that the works not only made from new raw materials, but also those made from used materials. In addition to the OHD Museum has been inaugurated by the Indonesian Record Museum or MURI for the category of tobacco warehouse, which becomes the most complete Indonesian paintings collection museum representing each period. The museum is inaugurated as the most complete museum in Indonesia, even the world. Oei Hong Dijan or OHD Museum is opened every day, except Tuesday, starting from 10 up to 17 West Indonesia time. The price of the entrance ticket is quite affordable. That was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Oei Hong Dijan Museum. We will meet you again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miss Eleni. In today's edition, we will present you information about InMed application. Stay tuned. Listeners, the latest innovation in medical world is created by one of Indonesian young generations from Malang, East Java. He is Dr. Gamal Albin Said, who invents an Android-based medical application called InMed or Indonesian Medica. The application is invented in a bid to facilitate people to get healthcare services, as well as change the conventional medical procedure. The Indonesian Medica application offers 5 features such as medical visit, medical phone, medical blood transfusion, medical talk or service on medical consultation, and medical food, which provides information for nutrition. listeners, among the 5 features provided in the application, 2 of them have been ready to use, namely the Med Visit and the Med Talk features. The Medical Talk or Med Talk feature helps patients contact their doctors and psychologists whom they would like to consult their health problems with. Patients can consult with medical experts in real time. Meanwhile, the Medical Visit feature enables patients to contact medical experts such as doctors, nurses, midwives, physiotherapists, nutritionists, and psychologists to come to the patient's location so that the patients do not have to come to the hospitals as it will be inefficient. However, the Medical Visit feature cannot be used in emergency state. In emergency state, the patients must be taken to the emergency department. The application can be downloaded for free on Google Play Store. However, the application can still only be used in Malang. The application is intended not only for middle to high class society, but also for patients from lower economy class. Through the application, a funding resource called crowdfunding is provided to help disadvantaged patients. The funding resource also helps them to pay for the healthcare services. Meanwhile, head of the Malang Health Department, Asitri Rahmi Nuswantari, told that the application could be a solution for people who need immediate healthcare service. That was Miscellany for today's edition. See you on our next edition with other interesting topics.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs. From the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will introduce you pop songs which were popular in 1990s, namely Kahitna. To initiate our segment music corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Cerita Cinta.
Berawal dari mata. sangka kita sama, telah menyimpan getah cinta. Cinta, yeah, biar cinta gelora di dada, biar cinta memadukan kita. Wow, wow, wow. Cerita cinta yang pertama ku rasa, jangan pernah berakhir cerita cinta kita.
Dunia seakan bercanda,
oh, oh,
melihat cerita kita.
Cinta,
listener, that was the song Cerita Cinta by Kahitna. Kahitna is a group of music from Bandung which was established on June 24, 1986. Nowadays, the group led by Yovi Widianto consists of vocalists Carlo Saba, Hedy Yunus, and Mario Ginanjar. They keep on bringing the theme about love with romantic lyrics. The song narrates about first love story of a couple lover. The song was composed by Yovi Widianto. Well, listener, I will present you another song from Kahitna entitled Cantik. Have a nice listening.
Lepas keresahan dirimu, oh, oh cantik, bukan ku ingin mengganggumu, tapi apa arti merindu selalu, oh, oh, oh. Walau mentari terbit di utara, hanya untukmu. Ada hati yang termanis dan penuh cinta, tentu saja kan ku balas seisi jiwa. Tiada lagi, tiada lagi yang ganggu kita. Ini kesungguhan, sungguh aku sayang. Tapi apa arti merindu selalu, oh, oh, oh. Walau mentari terbit di utara, hati
tentu saja, tentu balas seisi jiwa.
That was the song entitled Cantik by Kahitna. The famous song of Kahitna included in an album Cantik released in 1996. The song tells about a man who falls in love with a beautiful girl and wants to approach himself to her. There are many ways to persuade the girl. Well, listener, I will present you a song entitled Andai Dia Tahu. Happy listening.
Bilakah dia tahu apa yang telah terjadi semenjak hari itu hati ini miliknya.
Bukankah dia jatuh hati seperti apa yang ku rasa? Mungkinkah dia jatuh cinta seperti apa yang bilakah dia mengerti apa yang telah terjadi? Hasratku tak tertahan untuk dapatkan dirinya.
Mungkinkah dia jatuh hati
seperti apa yang ku rasa?
Listener, that was the song from Kahitna entitled Andai Dia Tahu. The song is one of his songs in the album Cantik. One of the characteristics of Kahitna is its musical arrangement mixed with jazz, pop, fusion, Latin, and ethnic elements. To end our music corner, I will present you a song entitled Sampai Nanti from Kahitna. Listener, see you and goodbye.
Artinya sudah teduh aku dekatmu. Sampai nanti tak berbatas diriku, harap ini takdirku untuk selalu denganmu. Sampai nanti jiwa ini untukmu, bukan hanya sumpahku selalu denganmu. Oh diriku, oh diriku,
oh waya, keluguanmu hapuskan beban dunia. Ini arti suciku, tegas inginkan kamu.
Saat ini engkau selalu
ingin bertemu dan mengulang jalin cinta. Mau dikatakan apa lagi, kita tak akan pernah satu. Engkau di sana, aku di sini, meski hatiku memilihmu. Ingin aku memelukmu lagi. Oh di hati ini hanya engkau mantan terindah yang selalu ku rindukan. Mau dikata tak akan pernah satu. Engkau di sana, aku di sini, meski hatiku memilihmu. Engkau meminta padaku untuk mengatakan bila ku berubah. Jangan pernah kau ragukan, engkau kan selalu di langkahku. Mau dikatakan apa lagi, kita tak akan pernah satu.
you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.